Kneel. Please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for this week that we just went through, the last few months, our entire lives. Thank you for guiding us so that we can meet your precious Son, our Savior. Thank you for blessing us as we go into your word now and look around and see that which is happening in the world as it pertains to your prophetic word. Thank you for giving us eyes that see and ears that hear and an opportunity to share with our tongues that which you have given to all those that would be your children. Please bless this changing of the showbread today, if you will, so that we can grow in Christ and be worthy of that latter rain that has already started drizzling. So please forgive us and cleanse us and bless us so that we can be used by you to go forth and glorify you like no one else in the history of mankind will ever do. We want to be in that number, and so we pray for that often. Please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right, what I'm about to share is known by some of you, yeah, but not all of it. as much has just recently been fulfilled. I would especially like to ask that the new brethren among us make sure that you are here for every part of this sermon in the coming weeks. If it's, I think it's going to be two, maybe. Well, I know it's at least two parts, but maybe three. I don't know. So, but so far it's just two parts. But the way the prophetic events are fulfilling so quickly now, it may be three parts. The fact Trump was elected, and he has been speaking with most Roman Catholics and seeking them for his cabinet choices, suggests things are about to speed up in a way, in the way the Bible said they would. So, in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it. Even to the years of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them." You know, if you read on in Joel chapter 2, you will see that this is speaking of the loud cry we are prophesied to proclaim. And this is why we are under attack lately as a church family and as individual Christians. Satan knows what time it is, and he knows this church has many obedient Christians in it that are already doing the work that will bring in the souls in need of salvation in the coming days. And so everything from false doctrines are being pushed by some people to simple lies about our character and the reason we walk the way we do. These have been levied against us lately. Well, actually, I've seen it for 32 years, but this is more so in the last few years, just to try to slow the work that we're doing and to actually try to stop it. Strangely enough, some ministers in the Ninth Hour Church actually come against us. Some are even writing articles about us in their magazines, calling us bloodsuckers. And these are ministers of the faith. And just so you know, I was planning on preaching an entirely different sermon this Sabbath due to the many attacks on the church family as well as me personally the last few weeks. Because we know the Bible and how it discusses all sorts of bad things that people have done so as to teach people what not to do. But the Lord woke me up Thursday morning, just a couple days ago, and told me that the sermon I was planning, well, actually it was a previous Thursday maybe, I don't know. But it was Thursday, I know that, and he told me that the sermon I was planning will not be as effective in waking up the souls in the church that have issues with befriending people who are not walking with the Lord as they should. Instead, letting them know how little time they have left on this earth might wake some of them up a bit more effectively. And again, some of you already know about some of the prophetic events I'm about to list, but many of you do not, you know, see it at all because you're kind of new to the truth, you know, and that's fine. You got to start somewhere. We all did. And so that being the case, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, that there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We're that close, in other words. And they do make merchandise of God's people. And yeah, there's many false preachers and prophets out there. But many of us know all too well about this because, I mean, you got the TV preachers, you got the mega church pastors. They've been known to make false prophecies. And as I was saying earlier in the study, you know, when I was mentioning, what's that guy, Hal Lindsey, you know, there's a few more of them out there than people realize. And I don't want to list them all because it's just ridiculous how many there are out there. But just to highlight a few for the sake of the new souls among us, we have men like Benny Hinn, who literally stated on camera, and I think I got the actual, I do have the audio of him saying this on the website. It's a WAV file. So he actually said homosexuality would be wiped out in the 1990s. And Fidel Castro would be dead before the year 2000. And homosexuality is still here. And even sanctioned by all the churches as, you know, you can be married as a homosexual. And Castro, he just died, what, 3 weeks ago? November 26th, right? When he died? Pretty sure. Now, even though this man was a proven false prophet, millions send him money daily as if he's a true prophet of God. That alone should wake some people up. I mean, we have rock-hard evidence he's a false prophet. Pat Robertson, he's another one. He shows, and Pat Robertson, he's been around. And look at the mercy of our Father. Look at how old that man is. And he's still alive and he's still breathing. Because the Lord doesn't, you know, he's given him every chance he can to repent. I mean, this is why I believe some of these popes are as old as they are. Ratzinger's still alive. But it shows how blind the people have become. Pat Robertson said hurricanes, earthquakes, and tornadoes would strike Orlando, Florida in 1998, and millions would die in that state alone. He also said major cities would burn to the ground in 2007, and that the United States of America would have a nuclear attack where millions would die in 2009. None of that happened. But he's still raking in the cash. Just to name a few more popular false prophets, we have Hal Lindsey. Like I mentioned earlier, he said the rapture would occur in 1995, but we're still here, and he's still making millions. What about William Branham? He said 300,000 would come to Christ in his India crusade when he was alive, which never happened. He also predicted Jesus would return in 1977. Again, that didn't happen. Y'all remember Harold Camping from a few years ago? He claimed the rapture would occur on May 21st, 2011. And millions believed it, so much so they spent millions and millions of dollars on high-end advertising campaigns. I saw some of those buses and billboards. I says, man, there was some money involved in those graphics. And finally, World Bible Society president, no less, Dr. F. Kenton Bashor, stated that based on his lifetime of study, the rapture is to occur before the year 2021, while the second coming of Christ will happen between 2018 and 2028. You know, it's bad enough he's preaching a secret rapture in a false seven-year tribulation period, which one can see on how he dated the second coming as being 7 years after his secret rapture, which was recently discovered to be a doctrine by the Vatican Jesuits. But for him to miss one simple Bible verse in his so-called lifetime of study, where Jesus says, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This proves the guy's a false prophet, and also proves a lot of people don't read their Bibles. That's key for today's world. You've got to be in the Word. And when those plagues start, oh, then they're going to start clamoring for the Bible. But like the prophet Amos said, no, there's going to be a famine in the land when it comes to the Word of God. They're not going to find it. And even if they do find it, they're not going to understand a thing it says. It's too late then. I can go on and on regarding these, you know, false prophets today, but I would assume these popular ones make my point quite clear. I mean, that end time prophecy has been fulfilled for some time now. As for the false preachers making merchandise of you, they do so by promoting their churches and books so they can entice you to donate cash to them. And have you noticed? When on TV, they ask for money in every single solitary broadcast. They are no longer interested in the people's salvation. It's now the money that interests them the most. because that is repeated with every broadcast. Hence, the prophecy regarding making merchandise of the people is fulfilled. And after speaking of those that worship, that refuse rather, to worship the Creator, Paul, the Apostle, said in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 7, that for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working with that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You know, many churches today not only have homosexual pastors leading them, they actually sanction homosexual marriage as the norm because they are locked into a government contract, namely the 501c3. They know that with that contract, if they refuse to preach pro-homosexuality, their tax-free status will be revoked by the government, and so they preach homosexual marriage is okay to keep the money flowing. Worse yet, thanks to their money-worshipping fruits, which prevent them from doing their ordained duty to speak out against such evils in society, there are right now laws sanctioning everything from abortion to doctor-assisted suicide. Because these guys have clammed up, they can't say anything to try to stop it en masse because of the 501c3. In some countries, Christians are fined. That, you know, big fines. But they're also, you know, just using a Bible, you know, to help a homosexual see their sinful ways is now considered a crime, punishable by 5 years in jail or a $5,000 fine, or both. Canada was the first to pass that law in September of 2003. And just so you know, all roads lead back to Rome on this one, as the Vatican does have the largest known organized group of homosexual men on the planet, of which over 1 billion Catholics believe are holy, sanctified men. We got to see that just that alone shows we are truly in the final days of life here on earth, when over 1 billion people worship these homosexual priests as if they are godly. It's bad enough they're worshiping them. You know, they think they're godly. And due to their worship of these men, they have surpassed, the men have surpassed the wickedness of even the common homosexual, in that now they prefer the flesh of little kids. You know, even heads of state are stepping out of the closet to claim homosexuality to be the normal in many nations, including the USA. In fact, this is old news now, but do you remember when Barney Frank, a U.S. congressman who married his lover, Jim Reddy, on July 7, 2012? You know, to top this off, Barack Hussein Obama sanctioned homosexual marriage in America and then forced all the 501c3 churches to follow his lead, or else. And as we also know, the USA has always been the trailblazer in every nation desires, you know, to imitate us. It's just like how everybody across the United States likes to emulate what's going on the West Coast. You know, California is supposed to be the most popular place, so everybody wants to act like them. Well, our country is the one that everybody else in the whole world wants to emulate. Soon all nations are going to follow suit, as we saw right before the flood of Noah. This confirms the prophecy fulfilled before the eyes of every person on earth. Jesus said it would be as it was in the days of Sodom, and that day has come. I mean, check out Luke chapter 17. Jesus also said in Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. You know, from 526 A.D. to 1896 A.D., planet Earth experienced 21 major earthquakes. Right, and I go into detail this in my book, People Get Ready, on this one, as well as we are very near the end sermon series. That one was, I don't know, it was like 20-part sermon or something. It was huge, or maybe 5 parts. Now that I think about it, it was 20 different sections, though. But these major earthquakes were, you know, they're considered major because at least 10,000 people died in each one. And keep in mind, they didn't have skyscrapers back then, so these had to be pretty large earthquakes that would cause the deaths of so many people. I mean, come on, if you're living in a hut and the ground shakes, you get out of the hut. Even if the hut falls on you, it ain't going to kill you. And so there's all these other, these are violent quakes that, you know, over the last, you know, what is it, 1,370 years, from 526 to 1896. So it's an average of 0.02 quakes per year that killed over 10,000 people each. Not long after the end times officially began, according to the prophet Daniel's many dated prophecies, which we no longer have dated prophecy. Well, I mean, we know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. But Daniel dated a lot of them because, well, actually, Gabriel did the dating, and Daniel just wrote it down. We also saw 21 quakes that killed over 10,000 people, most over 50,000, and a few of these quakes, 21, I just picked 21 because this is how many you saw in 1,370 years, so this is 21 that killed, and a few killed over 200,000 people. But this time, those quakes occurred between the years 1906 and 1990. Instead of seeing a 1,370-year time span for those 21 quakes, they occurred in just 84 years. That's 200 times more quakes in 84 years than in all recorded history of the 1,370 years of quakes. And worse yet, and thanks to a brother in the faith here that likes to share with us all the quakes every week, like Sabbath evening and Sabbath day, the number of quakes that we have per week. If you added them all up, the USGS government website just said, and I think I got this last week, that the world now has, on average, 1,444,469 earthquakes of all sizes each and every year now, just as Jesus predicted. And here's a problem for the young people. They think, well, that's just the way life's been since I was a kid. And even myself, you know, I was born in the 50s, and yeah, you know, earthquakes were kind of the norm, but they weren't this bad, but still, it was kind of the norm. But just because it was that way when you were born, it wasn't that way before you were born. And this is one of the reasons I asked all the questions I did when I was a little kid. I always wanted to know what life was like before I was here. I'd always ask all the old guys, you know, I got into that. I don't know, you know, I could see now why the Lord had me do it, but it was interesting. This is when, especially with tornadoes, because I started reading up on them when my parents finally bought us the encyclopedias. And I thought, wow. And I remember asking Uncle Joe, I says, man, do you ever remember any of these tornadoes all the time? Because I experienced my first one when I was 12. And there's an F5. And he was pretty, as well as Uncle Phil, both of them says, yeah, no, this ain't normal. We've never, no. Because by the time I was 12, okay, I saw my first one, but I was already scared out of my wits because it wasn't the first one. I mean, it was my first, but, you know, the news was on all the time in our house because my dad preferred that over anything else on the TV, and it was just the disasters. They were scary. Jesus also said in Matthew 24:12 that because of iniquity abounding, the love of many shall wax cold. We can look at the abortion industry on this one alone for proof that the prophecy has been fulfilled. I mean, millions of people. And I say people because not just the girls do it. I mean, the guys force them sometimes. But they kill their babies every year now. Millions of them. But like anything else, it was first legalized in America. In the USA alone, 3,700 babies are viciously tortured and killed by loveless doctors every single day. I did a video 5 months ago wherein you see that abortion doctor that showed literal demon possession on camera. The hissing and everything. He comes up to the guy, the Christian that's trying to, you know, talk to him. And he just comes up and he starts hissing his bad breath right in the guy's face. On camera. Yet the abortion clinics are making money hand over fist. And they kill these precious little babies at the request of their own mothers. This is insane. This is crazy. When I was a kid, the thought of killing a baby would cause many people to gasp at such comments. I mean, today it's a $1 billion industry. Is that nuts? I mean, it's just in my lifetime alone I saw that. I mean, keep in mind, this is just one act of love waxing cold, wherein over 30 million die each year. And they're not even sick. They're not even born. They're killed just because they're there. One would think that would be enough to show we are in the last days, and it does, but we also see love wax cold all around the world due to war, religious persecution, divorce, riots, bullies, of course. I had my share of them when I was a kid, or children killing parents, or suicide, animal cruelty, and yes, of course, mass murderers now. I remember the first mass murderer in the 60s, Richard Speck, killing those nurses. Now, they don't mention him as much on the news because it's like, you know, keeps off. Like with the abductions. I remember when the abductions started getting off the chart, when the Satanists were out there looking for little boys and little girls to offer up. You know, it was all over the news. Kids missing, kids found dead and stuff. You know, remember Crime Stoppers? What is the that one guy that runs them? John Walsh, is that his name? He started that because he wanted to find the guy that killed his boy. Because all they found was, they found his son, but just a part of him. So many people see no sin in ignoring simple commands of Jesus Christ in the Word regarding everything from that which is outlined in his law to gospel order when it comes to how Christians are not supposed to associate with those that have rejected his love-filled doctrines. And I'm not saying that it's because of the murderers that they're hanging with. No, they're not. The real fulfillment of this prophecy is a lot of people no longer have love for God. That's waxed cold too. That's why, in other words, they're doing things that the Bible says they shouldn't do. They're hanging with people they shouldn't hang with, which will literally draw them away from Christ. He's only saying, don't do this because I love you. I don't want to lose you. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. Since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This persecution of God's people right near the end is another one of those prophecies wherein even the scoffer can see fulfilled by simply reading a newspaper or hearing what his Christian neighbor went through recently on the job or at school or even in their families, and worse yet, even in their own church family. And I say worse yet because we saw how the families got corrupted. I mean, now, I couldn't believe this. I was watching a news report, and the guys on the, and this is not the first time I've seen this. Whenever they talked about Thanksgiving, this is, oh, yeah, got to go and be with the family. It's like the chore. It's like the most hateful thing. It's the most, I can't stand it. You know, I don't want to, I got to go be with my siblings and my parents and, man, when we were little, I mean, when I was a teenager, everybody was clamoring, and this is in the 70s, everybody just had to be there for Thanksgiving to be with loved ones. But now they literally make jokes on news reports that, yeah, you're going to have to be with your family now, you know, it's not going to be a fun day. And I couldn't believe it. And so, but that's been like that now for decades, but now this is happening in the church family, where that kind of stuff was weeded out just from, you know, walking with Jesus. But looking at the Vatican-controlled Muslims alone, when it comes to, you know, the persecution of God's people, we see 200,000 Christians are being killed each and every year now. An additional 175,000 more are being tortured. And these are just the numbers that the media is allowing to be put out there. I believe it's the same number that we saw during the Inquisition, where it was averaging 400,000 dead a year. And so probably another 200,000 just plain tortured, where they survived. Yet the news media has next to nothing on it. And the Pope has only spoke on it one time in the last 15 years. And it's no mistake, a Jesuit Pope is the one that's talked on it because of the guilt card there. You know, he's got to, I mean, if you're doing the act, you got to make it look like you're not doing the act, and so they go for it. And he only touched on it that one time so as to push his ecumenical message that will actually make it even worse for more Christians. And it's not only Muslims now that are killing the Christians. You got China, North Korea, India, Nigeria, Turkey, and Sri Lanka. They're killing them now as if it's just open season. As for simple persecution, wherein the Christian is jailed or viciously or harassed for their faith, literally all nations, including the USA and Canada, have been doing this in their judicial halls in just the last 8 years alone. Ever since Obama came into office, it kind of got escalated there. Right here in America, if you declare homosexuality to be a sin, you know, you're going to end up behind bars. Remember the Christian clerk in Kentucky? She was jailed for refusing to sign a marriage license for homosexuals. And one Christian, and there's a lot more than one, of course, like with the bakers, you know, the cakes, the homosexuals going after the cake bakers, the Christian bakers. This one Christian family, or the couple, I don't know if they had kids yet, but they were a young couple, they lost their family business because they refused to put something on a cake that was not only pro-homosexual, it was perverted on top of it. They lost their business and were fined over $50,000. And when they tried to get, I think they went to GoFundMe or some other kind of like online place that helps the needy or something like that. They raised the money, but before the money could be sent to them, that website shut it down and prevented them from getting that money. Because they're Christians. The prophet Hosea also spoke of our day when he said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." And that's right, we are Israel. Jesus was pretty clear about that. "If you obey me, then we carry that name now," he said. So, "ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I mean, there was a page. It's still on my site. I left it on the site, but I couldn't keep up. And this was just from the censored stuff that I was getting. I could not keep up with the amount of animals, fish, and birds, and things that were dying. Literally every nation on earth now has witnessed this prophecy fulfilled in the last decade alone. So much so that since this prophetic event started to happen daily across the globe, the government officials agreed to force all mainstream news outlets to hold off on reporting them so as to quench the truth that the end is near. This is why I say I had to go. I couldn't keep up with just the censored stuff, you know, the stuff that I was able to get because it was from local areas. The international news or the national news, forget about it. They stopped talking about it. Only the local news stations were allowed to report on it because, well, they had no choice. Think about it. You get up in the morning, the whole neighborhood smells like dead animals or dead, rotting fish. And so they got to say something. And so they make up these crazy excuses as to why the animals died. They don't want to talk about what Hosea said. They just say, well, the fish died because they had a lack of oxygen in the water. Even though only one species of fish dies, and all the rest of the fish who also relied on that same oxygen content in the water, well, they remained unharmed. They didn't die, just that one species. I remember the one time they had like 4 feet thick of dead sardines, and I think it was like miles and miles off the shores of, and I say 4 feet because it was like they thought it was only a foot deep, and they says, "Oh no, they're just about ready to float up from underneath." Because they're all scattered, and they're going to work their way up. It's going to be 4 feet thick or something, if I remember. I remember the pictures. I can only imagine the smell just looking at it. And this is where all the boats were parked, in the slips. They then report lies. They've got no choice. None of these prophesied events are allowed to be reported on nationally or internationally, so as to keep the panic down. The lies of the media also confirm another fulfillment, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, which says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail with a child, and they shall not escape." You know, keeping it local and out of the news portals that can go global prevents the truth from spreading that awakens the many lukewarm Christians and all the seekers among us. This is also why the internet has been compromised by governments so as to allow them to prevent other nations discovering what's going on with their neighboring nations. I've got really old newsletters about this, about them with their plans to block the internet. I mean, it was obvious. Even a babe in Christ could see they have to shut the internet up because the Pope does not like free speech because the man of sin prophecy, it's already been fulfilled. People know who he is, but they're trying to keep it down on the down low so that he can do what he's got to do. They even blocked my videos about the Vatican crimes in certain nations so as to prevent their many years of ecumenical fence mending from being compromised. And my website has literally been tagged a dangerous website in some nations that use the Great Firewall of China. You know, it's in their routers, the D-Link router software. Anyway, moving right along, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, that it says, "In the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And have you noticed? The world has literally indulged in every pleasure imaginable today. Look around. You'll see that a very small number of people attend church every week, or even read their Bibles for that matter. But if you look at the resorts, the casinos, the strip joints, the pedophile islands, dogfight arenas, boxing arenas, Hollywood theaters, legalized brothels in Vegas, or other countries, or the peep shows and hookah lounges, you'll see them packed to the rafters with people, and many of them claim to be Christians. And for those that cannot afford resorts and casinos, we see them packed in local bars, around the couch in front of their TV, you know, paying a monthly fee to Netflix to keep their flesh entertained. And all of them further pander to the flesh, using alcohol, drugs, sex, and even food to bring about this long prophesied pleasures of the flesh. And then 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know, absolutely everyone listening knows for a fact this prophecy has been fulfilled, especially now that the riots have become the norm in most nations, and this now includes America, thanks to the recent election, which has seeded the political minds with the thoughts of everything from burning the Constitution to martial law. This is why you got MRAPs in every city now. Even the small towns have MRAPs. An MRAP is just a glorified Humvee that looks like a tank. And a local cop has them now. And the government says, oh, we're just giving away. They were, you know, we didn't need them anymore. They came up with some really goofy excuse as to why they didn't charge the local police. It's because they know what's coming. It's even prophesied there's going to be civil war. Just to name a few examples, we have, when it comes to the perilous times, we have the bully on the playground to the wars and rumors of wars occurring globally. The media has even started pushing talking points forward on a World War III scenario. And if you compile that with off-the-chart increase in the earthquakes, the floods, the mass animal deaths, the tornadoes, the prairie wildfires, or food poisonings, shipwrecks, hurricanes, plane crashes, riots. See, I go on a little bit here. I wrote down a few of these. The sinkholes, mudslides, deaths in car crashes, economic disasters, serial killers, train crashes, flu epidemics, as well as pandemics. You got blizzards, famines, air pollution, tsunamis, and droughts that last for many years on end. I mean, one can see that we're racing towards the end of life on this earth as we know it. This is all prophesied, and it's happening in our generation. Does that mean that Jesus is coming back in our generation? No, we don't know that. I don't know. I really hope so. But and yes, just to address this scoffer that says all these horrific things have happened in the past, yeah, you're right. But I have to remind you that never before in the history of mankind have we seen them happen all at the same time and then over and over again as we see the cases today. It's so bad now that there are even special service websites listing these disasters on a daily basis to help some people keep up. And you wonder, well, why are they even bothering? Well, they do so for profit. Because, yes, even here, some that worship money have discovered a way to make large sums of money pandering to the poor after their homes are destroyed by a natural disaster. Need I remind you of what Clinton did, you know, the Clinton Foundation did in Haiti? For those that want some inside information on that, speak to Sister Madeline. She got internet issues right now. I don't think she's here today, but she hasn't been here for a while because of her internet issues. I talked to her on the phone a few weeks ago, but she has family in Haiti. And you mentioned Clinton to her. Oh, yeah, they all know exactly what went down there. But in America, nah, not so much. They keep it out of the news. So, getting back to the diseases that were prophesied, as I shared earlier. Jesus said in Matthew 24:7, you know, about the famines and pestilences. Were you aware that there are so many different diseases now that the World Health Organization had to create new categories to keep track of them in the computers? Because mankind simply can't keep an eye on what's happening worldwide now. And thanks to the corrupt AMA, you know, the American Medical Association, and their practices and their prophesied sorcery that some still call pharmacies today for some reason, but many of these diseases are the end result of those drugs and those vaccines that are purposely designed to generate disease so as to fill their customer base to where it bulges at the seams. This is why they can't keep up, and this is why they come up with these crazy ideas like Obamacare. But even here, we see a shocking reality I never thought was possible. And I've shared this before. According to the World Health Organization, the categories for disease have reached 12,420 in number. When I was a child, I mean, there was less than 100 known diseases, as I recall. I mean, I used to read those encyclopedias, you know. I went cover to cover, A to Z. I mean, diseases like polio, smallpox, the plague, and cholera, everybody knew about that stuff. And then some new ones like, you know, the STDs like syphilis and gonorrhea started to occur. But now we have over 12,000. And in that number, most categories now contain dozens of different types of strains associated with each category in the list itself. And many contain literally hundreds of different types of baseline properties for each individual strain, making it impossible for anyone to keep up, even with the use of the computers. All the computers can do now is keep a log, keep a list of all. I mean, think about it. Like if you're a doctor of internal medicine or trying to figure out disease, and you got a customer comes in, or they call them patients, of course, but in today's world, they're more or less customers. And they come in, and he's got a disease, and you look in the chart, and you go, okay, this disease has thousands of strains and thousands of different ways it can go. And this is why they start throwing pills at you. Say, try this. It doesn't work. And then sometimes the pill he tries actually kills a person. They really can't effectively handle it now. It's just gone off the chart. And worse yet, that figure of 12,420, it hasn't changed. It's still the one that I used in my book, People Get Ready. I think it's in the book. Well, I know it's on the very near the end sermon series, but that's from 2007. The fact they haven't updated in 10 years is a cause for concern, as far as I can see. I mean, has it gotten so bad that they don't want to post their findings anymore? Well, judging by the fruits of the elected officials, yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, there's just too much money to be made to shut down the AMA now. I mean, the fact that it's gone overboard where no one can possibly stop it makes some of the billionaires exceedingly giddy, knowing that they're in for a massive payday. But here's the thing. Most of us see a payday once a week, right? The billionaires in the corporate offices of the AMA see a payday every single day of the week that blows away our annual income. What most Americans make annually is what these guys have in their petty cash drawer. And then next, and I think I'll close with this. Let me see. Yeah, I think I'll finish with this one here, because I don't want to go over too far, because like I say, I got another part of this. But Paul, the apostle, speaks to this. I mean, it's in 2 Timothy 3:5. He says the churches will have a form of godliness in our day, right? And he says, but they're going to be denying the power thereof. What from such, turn away. Good advice. Amen. And this is why we see what it says in Revelation 18. But it also says in Revelation 13:14 that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. I've got gobs of information on this stuff. But just for the sake of putting it out there again, because of what just happened recently with Trump, Paul the Apostle does prophesy that in our day, this same type of apostasy will be the norm in the church. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 that there shall come a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. Well, we know who he is now, right? So that means the falling away happened a while ago. And anyone with eyes to see biblical truth also know apostasy is in the churches in a big way. And this falling away by church leaders has led to denying the power of God so as to seek the help of the civil government, which in turn moved all the churches influenced by political leaders to create that image of the beast in Rome that is already known globally as a church and state. That's what the 501c3 is. You can't get it unless you join your church with the state or incorporate. That's what the INC means at the end of the ministry name, if you see it. I mean, I wouldn't see any issue with a business joining with the church and joining with the state, but a church, you know, because a business, you know, they have the tax things, the things that they do depending upon the product. But a church, no, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, the 501c3 tax ID code was brought forth by Lyndon Johnson in 1954, which George W. Bush gave life to in March of 2006 by signing it into law that all the churches with the 501c3 are now to be considered government agencies with the power to lobby religious law. And they waited that long because, you know, Lyndon Johnson set it up in 54 knowing it's going to take decades before all the churches join on that bandwagon, because there's millions of, you know, and, well, I wouldn't know if there's millions, but there's tens of thousands of churches. This has literally caused, just by waiting a few decades, all American churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to emulate the exact same ungodly structure of the Vatican in Rome, which is a church and a state mixed together. And have you seen the video I made back in July, wherein Trump, who back then was just running for office, but who is now president-elect, he declared that the Christian churches in America have the most powerful lobbying abilities in the nation. We've been saying that for a while, you know, but they were laughing, of course. Then, like I was talking to a sister in the faith the other day, the laughing stopped on March 7, 2006, when they realized that, oh, maybe you got something there. Because they never thought that that 501c3 would give any power to the churches. This is, but the Bible says it will. So you don't even have to be a prophet to know that if you just know how to read. He also claimed he would do away, Trump, he said he'd do away with that 501c3 once in office. But as I stated in the video and many times in the blog afterwards, he's not going to trust a 501c3, even though he claimed he could or would. Anyone that trusts Bible prophecy knows he cannot remove that which keeps the image of the beast alive. Can't do it. It's not going to happen. As I stated many times since, he made that arrogant claim that he can only restructure it instead so as to allow the government agents, most people now call pastors, to keep their long prophesied ability to lobby for those religious laws we know for a fact are on the very horizon. We are that close to the end, brothers and sisters. Sunday laws are an absolute certainty in the very near future now. And Trump is leading the way in regards to, did you see my most recent, I think I did one on Thursday about this blog entry that I put on my site about Joseph Farah. He's the CEO and owner and founder of WorldNet Daily. He's claiming Trump will bring about the restitution of all things by claiming the 1,000 years of peace will start when Jesus reigns on earth, and he says it's about to happen during Trump's administration, or he hopes. He literally said in the article that Jesus is returning to rule and reign with his faithful friends, true believers like you and me, for 1,000 years on earth. I'm quoting him there. Should have put that quote in the sermon notes, I guess, but if anybody wants it, just ask me, or just go to my blog from Thursday. My blog entry. He also listed a series of things that the church needs to address in the coming years under Trump. And you guessed it. One of them was Sunday Sabbath and how Christians don't really keep it as they should. I mean, brothers and sisters, the 1,000-year false prophecies and the Sunday Sabbath are two of the final signs that the powers that be are ready for the arrival of Antichrist as Messiah on earth. And the Christians are more interested in fighting amongst themselves, sowing discord, attacking each other with false rumors, drinking, smoking, eating unclean foods, having extramarital affairs, committing a fornication, or hacking into the churches if they have online services, or yoking with people who see nothing wrong with homosexuality, or Muslims, or starting churches with Chrislam behind it, you know, Christianity and Muslim mixed, Islam mixed, or hanging with people that have been disillusioned by Satan and disfellowshipped by the church, or even claiming dress reform, drinking coffee or a little wine now and again is no big deal. It's trivial. Lord's not going to throw you in hell for that. Yeah, but how are you going to be ready to hear anything he has to say? It'll eventually get you to hell because, you know, disobedience, it grows just like faith grows. I mean, ask any heroin addict what he started out on. Everything is sinful starts off small. I mean, look at Elvis Presley. I bring him up because could you imagine if, what's that guy with the weird eyes and the guy looks demon possessed when he sings and he's got this, he's just strange. If he would have got on stage in the 1950s, not Marty Feldman, but no, this guy has two different, you know, he's got like these, you know, these things that cover his eyes. The contacts, different colors, and he sings demonic music, and he's always got blood coming out of his mouth when he's singing. Marilyn Manson, thank you, that's the guy. If that guy would have come on stage in the 50s, rock and roll would have died at that time, right? But no, some cute-looking guy by the name of Elvis Presley that was a mama's boy and sang a little bit of gospel now and again, yeah, It's just like the kid starting out smoking a couple of joints that ends up mainlining heroin into his arm when he's 20. Unbelievable. Praise God, though. The majority of the people in the remnant number refuse to do such things. You know, like drinking a little wine or hanging with the people that they shouldn't or whatever the case may be. But there are many Christians out there that seem to think such things are no big deal. And yes, that too is just one more sign that we are very near the end. And I'll cover that later in another sermon. But as I stated at the start, this is only part one of the sermon series. The last year alone saw many prophesied events fulfill, and I hope in the coming weeks to share some of the more intense ones with my precious church family on Sabbath day. If we stay in the Word and His Word daily, get on our knees as often as the patriarchs and prophets of old did, you know, three times a day, you know, morning, noon, and night, we will gain the perfection of Christ, and we will be His bride forever. All of us, if we are serious about our walks, all of us will someday sit at the table of the Lord to dine as one big, happy, and eternal family. So with that said, share as much love as you can with each other. And share as much love as you can with those that the Lord sends your way, as well as love for the Lord who loved you first. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Sanctify ye fast, call it solemn, assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty it shall come. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Turn ye then to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Answer unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders,
amen. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with your presence and an understanding of the Word. Thank you for helping us keep our eyes open and keeping the blinders fit perfectly so that we stay on the path that is well lit before us and not go anywhere near the edges. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. Let us go forth to glorify you and bring many souls into the church, into the fold. And thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and even those that come against us. And we offer this prayer unto you, Father, in the best of our ability. And that ability always falls way short of the name that we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.